but I own all the utilities, so it's actually times 10.
Board Games on 95BFM. Our weekly chat with Waitemata local board head Pippa Coombe.
Yes, although no, at the same time. Today we are talking to Tracy Mulholland, as aforementioned, the head of the FOE local board. On Tuesday, for those who only tune into the esteemed Thursday Wire, we discuss local politics with local politicians and see what's happening. And so we regularly chat to Pippa Coombe. However, we are also at the moment talking to the FOE local board. And so I started by asking the chairperson of that board, Tracy Mulholland, what's happened since I last talked to her?
Haven't we just been busy? You know, we talked about the FOE Pacific People's Plan, the ethnic plan, and the warden snarving out, so that's great. So the next stage for those plans, of course, are the engagement and moving those into plans that we have for the FOE local board already under our outcomes. So that's been good. That's great work. And also we have had the difficult position in the whole of Auckland whereby one of our board members has resigned from the board due to a code of conduct hearings panel decision, and then the FOE local board, you know, under my chairpersonship to go public on that. Now, you know, for me as a chair, and I would hope for board members, it is quite a significant thing to have happened, because it is a rare thing in this term to have that occur. So that's been difficult, and then, you know, working with community for different views and opinions on that. As we know, people are divided, but you need to listen to all sides. So that's been pretty important. And just looking at the future of some of our play areas and my discussions with the team of staff and the board around that, I think it's really critical that we get that one right. You know, politicians shouldn't be thinking of just a short term. We should be thinking of long term. If we're really serving people, and that's what I'm really trying to get through to people, that they are being served by politicians, that is the duty of the elected person, like myself and others, to be serving the community. So making sure that they're listened to, and that we're thinking long term, not just a quick fix. So we've been working on that piece of work, and that'll be coming up to the board. What happens now, though, is it's really interesting, we've been talking about this, is that we go into election mode, and yeah, I've really started to observe some changes there. So what worries me is things sort of grind to a little bit of a halt in some areas, and I would like to think I'm saying we just need to keep moving for the FOE and keep having our projects move forward versus, gee, we're in election time.
Do you think that people slow down and start to focus on their personal re-election rather than continuing working with their local electorate when it leads into the election time?
That's pretty much a yes, no, and I won't give you a different answer. I'll give you a yes, I believe that occurs. I'm new to this. It's my first time. I'm not actually running for the board in this upcoming election. I am running as councillor, but I believe that that's what I'm observing. And again, we come back to this. I've met some amazing, you know, central government politicians who really are dedicated to the cause. So that's been fabulous. And I see them, you know, they'll no doubt in my mind get, you know, re-elected anyway. But what I observe in the smaller environment is those that sort of fight for their little piece of the pie. And in the local board, and I'm happy to share this because it's all public information and people won't know this, but say, for example, the FOE local board, an elected member working X amount of hours, and when you look at the chart actually of how many hours across the whole of Auckland board members do, considering what they sign up for, they're quite two different sums, and they're not in the great column. They're in the, gee, we need to get better at this column, you know. So they get about $44,000 a year, and I think that is a lot of money. I mean, to me, that's a lot of money. To a lot of people I know, that's a lot of money. And I don't begrudge anyone earning money, but if we're serving, we've got to actually do the work for it.
How do you think we can ensure that the local politicians in any council or any area in New Zealand actually working or representing to reflect that amount of money? And what do you think $44,000 worth of work for a local board is?
I think that's a minimum of at least 20 to 25 hours, a minimum, because they are contractors, so they've got other expenses associated with that, right? So that's my view on that. I think it's a minimum of that. And I think that's actually documenting, which under the Local Government Act now, they don't have to do that. So I think there's that. The only things that are documented are workshops, which are public notification, and the attendance at the 10 or 11, depending on which board it is, across Auckland, there's 21 boards. The documentation of a record of attendance there. So I think there needs to be more reporting, and some boards are great at this, who present reports on how many meetings. So I think that's really, that should be mandated, it should be under legislation, but that means a change in legislation, and does the government want to force their own people?
Now, to answer your other questions, how do we make that happen? I mean, I think mandatory, and I know people don't like this one, Mark, you know, a bit of a difficult dilemma, but I think mandatory would be good, because then people will maybe take more notice of the people that actually represent them. So they should be doing a minimum, and it should be set as a minimum number of hours. Now, there's some, and I really want to say I've met some board members in other areas, and they do amazing work. And I've got to say, one in particular, one of my boards close by, that particular woman dedicates 2 days as a board member and literally is there and turns up to meetings. And when you go to council, at the governing body meetings, you know, I see her and others like that. So I suppose it depends on your conscience,
Do you think that there should be a difference if we're looking at like making things mandatory between attendance and contribution? Because it's all good and well for someone to turn up to a meeting, but do you think there's a way of measuring someone's contribution within those meetings?
Absolutely, because I was going to tell you this, and this is fact because it's been in public. One of my board members has got a good record of attendance, but she sits on Facebook because one of my other board members constantly complains about she's on Facebook and ignores when I'm talking about trying to ask questions, hear what people are saying. Sorry, but that's an attitudinal old school, you know, the old, you know, been around here, I can do what I like sort of thing. So that I'd like to say goodbye to. But you're right, so there's that attendance, but no.
How can you change that kind of behaviour? And why do you think that attitude or that culture exists within local boards if it is a culture?
I'd say we have got a long way to go in terms of representation, but I'm a true believer that if people are being watched and monitored by those who, and I know it's not the sort of society we want to be living in, but if there are people who are watching and monitoring about attendance, about participation, about engagement, about listening to community, about working for the money that they are paid from rates, then we will get a better outcome. I do think, and I want to really do a hands up here for the amazing team, and I will give them full credit for my years and years of experience in community development, business and social work, that the governance team at Auckland Council, I am so impressed with the things that they are trying to do at council to improve and educate and assist members to really take that responsibility seriously and to offer training and guidance. It is very, very impressive of what Phil and his team are doing. You know, I observe that. I think it's great. I've observed it with when we've had we had one of our members, which was public, Member Farmer, and then we had, unfortunately, Member McDonald with codes of conduct matters, and they've been gone to public so people can read about it if they want to. It's really to help them understand how to improve. We're not there to be judge and jury. That is done by other people recommending to a board about behaviours and about how to learn, and I think that's one good way of doing it, because we're not that we're there as elected representatives for our people. You know, I have faith that will get more traction over time, because we're still a new super city, aren't we? We're only just coming up 9 years. We're learning.
Certainly. Do you think that there should be or could be a minimum ideas or minimum projects initiated or supported kind of goals or targets for members of local boards?
We, for example, in the local board, like many other boards, have hundreds of projects. So we have multiple projects, and the way that council and elected members were working prior to this term was a bit different. Now we have workshops. Before, they used to allocate projects. And I think I've just put in an international paper to ICTC, which is on essentially that. How do you get, with so many projects, how do you get buy-in from people who maybe are not skilled? Because we want good people, diverse community, to run for boards, right? We want
great representation. We want good people who have a range of skills. So that means collectively they should be making decisions together, even at workshops or in more regular meetings. And I know a lot of boards do this really, really well too.
There's an election every 3 years, yes?
Correct. Yep. And 12th of October is when people will know who their new elected members are
right.
for the next 3 years.
Yep.
So that's coming up real soon. So I would say to your listeners, read about who people are representing you.
What do you think an acceptable contribution in 3 years looks like for a local board chair and a local board member?
I'm going to speak really frankly about, because I'm not running again as a local board member, I'm going to be running for council, as I said. So mine is about just, I think a chair needs to have a very broad range of skills. One thing I've learned and what you do in that three-year period is I feel, and I've just been talking to an amazing community leader in the area in Avondale, and I said to her, I've learned a lot and, you know, listening to her and others about, you know, what this means when you go into it. I feel, and I said to her, I feel I've given my heart and soul to, you know, my business brain and my community brain to committing to the betterment, but I am in a position where I am willing to give all. So I think that's what that looks like. And most chair persons I know, there's 21 of us, I look around that room and I go, well, there's some really clever, talented people here that I am pitching for our faux area against, you know, for funding and support against them, you know, because you're trying to get your share of the pie for your community, right? So you've got to be strategic, you've got to be smart, you've got to have a long-term vision, you've got to relationship build. And I feel, for me, I have given it that. And so we've had some big wins, I get that, but luckily I've stayed, I think, had good relationships across the board with those very clever, talented chairs that I have just got so much respect for. For a board member, it's difficult. I think they should be giving as well, but this is where maybe my leadership skill is different and my expectation. If you want to do it, don't do it for the money. Do it for the passion, the love and the contribution. So I think if people can be doing that, if they can contribute to the hours that are at least set out under the local government when they sign and they get elected and they sign for it, great. And if they are there and they are committed and they're not sitting on their phones doing work, other work they're being paid for, that they are there. And also, I'm not keen on the double dipping issue of being on trusts and other things like that. You know, so for out in West we have the trust, so I don't like the double dipping idea. Well, it's not because you're allowed to do it, but you know, you should be just dedicated, shouldn't you?
That's not a ladder, that's an upside down snake. Board games on 95 BFM.